Maybe next week.
I had a joke that Pakatawa and then you left.
I asked Rachel, so I said, not today, Dad. So. All right, we continue our series. Actually, this is the last time, I promise you. It's about the characteristics of a godly love. Okay, we'll be reading the last part that I prepared for you this morning. Maybe get to our Bible in Romans chapter 12. Finish up this message. Your Bible says love in action. I'll be reading 15 and 16 today. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Let me read to you the NLT version. I was reading this book and reading it in a New Living Translation in Romans, right? NLT, yeah. It says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And then, and don't think of you, don't think you know it all. Have you encountered a person that know it all? Sometimes, right? And it's hard to be in that encounter. Okay, last week we said about love is to be generous, love is to be hospitable. Hope last week or this week or during this day that we've shown our generosity, we've shown our hospitality as believers of Christ. We are to be hospitable, and then we are to be gracious, you know. When you say gracious, we are giving somebody that's, you know, he's not or she's not, what do you call this, she would be able to repay us back. That's better, right? And because we also saved by grace, by God giving us his grace, weren't able to pay back, but we are thankful that he gave us grace and by being gracious, we are gracious to people by giving, not only because sometimes when we say gracious, we always associate with a lot of times maybe finances, but it's not only not finances. It could be our time, our energy. You know, just be there to talk, be there to listen, be there to be a what I call this, to be available for her or him who needs something to, you know, to talk with. And as Christian, as believers of God, we are to be of those three things: generous, hospitable, and gracious. Today we read about it says be happy, right? It says over here, be happy. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Okay? First one is God's love is emphatic. But the world is emphatic things. Emphatic comes from the word empathy. When you say empathy, it's more than sympathy, right? When you show empathy to somebody, you know, you are sometimes giving up yourself. You know, you're trying to find the situation that he has or she has. You're empathic. You're trying to not to really understand, because when you say you understand what she or he is it's you know, experiencing right now, it's I don't think that's the right word, you know, to say. If we try to communicate on a person who is dealing with, for example, grieving, or somebody who has lost somebody, and you say, I understand. No, that's not the word actually that had to be used, but because we never could understand fully what he or she is, you know, experiencing right now. Maybe you had the same experience. Maybe you lost somebody too, but you know, different person react to different situation, right? So in communicating, when you say, I understand, I advise you not to say that. You know, maybe we can relate, you know, and say something, oh, I when I had these things, I did this, I did that, I talked to somebody, you know, and something happens along the way. Maybe you can say that. But saying, I understand, is not the way to communicate. So when we say, you know, love, God's love is empathic. You put yourself in a situation, that person, and we must try to understand. You know, we must try to talk, not fully really understanding, but we have to open up. You know, in communication, we must seek to understand the other person first. You know, and we must put secondly that person that we are talking to understand us. Yeah, that's the that should be the, you know, the communication skill that we should be at first thinking about. Because sometimes two people are communicating, two people are talking, and then after a few minutes of, I don't think you understand me, and then you walk away. Because sometimes when we talk, we try to fight it out. We try to put to the other person, oh, you can understand me. You know, I've been explaining to you more than 100 times, but still you cannot understand me. Right? And you walk away, two of you not really having a chance, you know, to talk to or to, you know, be in one mind. Because we are trying to push that person to understand us first. I've been married for 30 years now. If I, you know, push it to my wife that she would only understand me before I understand her, I don't think we will be together. You know? I think, you know, the best way is, you know, the best way is for you to seek that person, you know, to us, so you can understand him or her before she understands you, right? In some way, a lot of times, I myself is guilty of that, you know, I'm guilty of that. I want her or him or the other person to understand me first. I'm guilty of that a lot of times before I understand anything. But the best thing that God, that the Bible is teaching us is to seek, you know, seek that someone. You know, you put yourselves into his situation so you can understand what he's going through. Because a lot of times we say, you really don't understand me either. So you walk away. What if you walk away before, you know, before having a chance, you know, to talk to each other? In empathy, when you say God's love is empathy, you put yourself in his or her situation. That is when the person, you know, person listen, the person sit down, and the person communicates. It's a lot of times when you try to talk, we know all the talking. But when you do all the talking and not listening, you know, That's why we have 2 years after. We would say we have 2 years because we have a lot of time to listen. Listen. And listen. Because if we do all the talking, if we do all the communicating verbally, you're not going to, you know, to you're not going anywhere. You're going to something that, you know, will separate you, you know, that will be a hindrance of you and, you know, you and him is talking about. So when we talk, the best way is to seek empathy. Better understand him or her before he understands you. Alright? And then another thing over here, happy with those, with others. And when you say happy with others, you live in harmony. I mean, you are happy and joyful when he is happy, and you be, it says over here, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Meaning to say, you are putting yourself in your situation. And I told you earlier, every individual reacts to different situations in life. Right? So I never say you understand what he's going through right now. And the second one is love in harmony with others. Be of the same mind towards the other, even though we are different. Be of the same mind towards the other, even though we are unique, we are different with each other. You know, we are unique, right? We are different. I was telling my daughter yesterday, driving home. I remember my dad loving 8 persons because he are hitting the back. And I was thinking, oh, how did he? Because my mother died when I was 13 years old. I was still in high school, second year, first year high school, so my dad was the father and our mother. And he took care of 8 kids. And it's not easy, I guess. How can you love 8 kids at the same rate, at the same? It's hard. But he was able. All of us kids are, you know, are schooling, and most of us have a stable job, and even though not all of us are Christians, but that he was able to guide us. Even though my point is, we are unique in every way. Not every person is, you know, is the same. We are created unique by God. You are, even though we are told by God to be in harmony, but still we are unique. Meaning to say, as believers of Christ, we concentrate on the things that we are of the same. Of the same means to say, we are the same because we are covered by the blood of Christ, right? We are all saved by grace. We are all sinners in a sense, but we are forgiven by God. And if we are forgiven by God, we have the same purpose. And that is, one of our purpose is to seek the, you know, sinners, evangelize the world. We are like, you know, we are like in an orchestra actually. We have different instruments to play, as unique as we are, you know. We are created unique by God. There's no two same person. Even though they're twins, biologically we are different, we are unique. And yet we play the same note when it comes, you know, to the body of Christ. Remember, the body of Christ is composed of different bodies. We have the head, we have the eyes, we have the hand, we have the feet, you know. Everybody is different, you know. Everybody is different. Everybody is created in a unique way. But we have to be in harmony. Harmony in the sense that God has covered us with His blood, and we have the same purpose, and that is to glorify God. And at the same token of purpose, we are to evangelize the world. We are one team, even though we are different. We have different function as the body, the head, you know, has different function, the eyes, different function, the hand, you know, you see the music instrument, they play their own notes, and we see the music and the singing in harmony, even though it's different, they have different gifts, but when we sing to the Lord, you know, we are one. We are in harmony towards one another because we have one goal, and that is to glorify God, right? So let's concentrate on the things that we are to say, not on the things that we have to differ. Because a lot of times when we concentrate on those things, we can never be in harmony towards God. Just like I told you earlier, my dad loved 8 kids. And my wife's family is even, you know, they're 10 in the family. Additional 2 persons. How can a parent, I was thinking, how can my dad do that? He all loved us. And God is the same too. That is the same thing. We are so different in many aspects of our lives. We're so different. And yet we are one in the eyes of God. So Paul was admonishing us to live in harmony, you know, to live in the same mind towards one another, even though we are unique. We cannot replace a person, actually, because he is unique. We can replace the position, you know, for a position of leadership, but we cannot replace the person. Everybody is created unique. We focus more on the things that we are set by God, and that is like the church. As Christians, we are common, that we are all sinners, and we are all forgiven. By Christ's blood, we are forgiven by God. And everybody is important. Same mission, and let us be in harmony with one another. The third one is godly love is humble. It's not full of pride, just like the Bible is saying. It's not conceited, you know, and it's not in vain. Is not working towards something that he could or she would achieve. God's love is humble. It's not working, it's not sharing, it's not doing something because he wants to gain something out of his service. Remember Jesus stooping down on his knees and washing the feet of the disciples. In our culture nowadays, it's so different. When you are powerful, when you have the name and a lot of people know you, you know, you are the idea of being powerful and a lot of, you know, financial thing is so different when God is telling us right now. Remember when the disciples were discussing who will be on the right hand and on the left hand? And Christ said, whoever wants to be great, let him serve. And God not only showed that, not only say that, but he showed it. How did he show it? He stood down on his knees and watch the disciple be. And that is service. And that is humbleness. When you want to serve, you know, you are looking and your purpose is to serve that someone. Minsay, sometimes it's like this, you cannot serve because you're looking for somebody and you're looking at yourself is above everybody. Guilty, I'm good. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to do anything to him because I feel like I'm better than him. But God's teaching is different. The person who wants to be great, the person who wants to be uplifted, is the person who has to serve and sit down. That's how radical it is. That culture is different. People who wants to serve are who wants to be served. The people who wants to be looked upon, and the person who has, you know, stronger financially, namely, and people recognize. But as a believer of Christ, God's godly love is humble. We have to be ready to stoop down and tell other people, you are better than me. And that is servanthood. Servanthood. That's a mark of a true believer. When you're ready to serve, what you don't think of yourself highly compared to the person next to you or to the person that you wanted to do something useful. You cannot serve a person if we think that we are better than you. And another thing that Christ did. You know, he not only said it, preached it, but he did it. How did he do it? He died on the cross for you. See how humble is that? How humble is that? God, the creator of this world, died for me. What did I do? What did you do? That God will serve us. You know? What did the people do in order for God to stoop down, carry our cross, and humble himself, and die for us? That is love. That's God in love. He showed his humbleness. And he was not really only preaching and teaching and saying it, he did it. Right? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8, we need to do that verse. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself. There you go. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death. Love is humble. If you want to serve others, we have to be ready to serve and be humble. We're not politicians, like the politicians, right? Promise everything. But we are people of God. We have to humble ourselves God is giving us an opportunity for us to understand. Don't look down on others. A lot of times we look down on others and we think ourselves highly and we want it to be served. No. We are better than others, we always think. Humility is to serve others. We don't try to serve others if we think we are better than anybody. Humble means to serve. Humbleness means to serve. And humbleness means to love. Love means to put you down, lowest position, and serve others. Can you do that? Can you do that? I think we can. It's hard, it's not easy, I know. But Christ did. Because he wants to show what the real meaning of God is. He humbled himself to think that he is the Son of God and carried the cross for us. And I think we can do it. We are believers of God. So, we end on that note. Everybody can come up. Wants to serve others, saying, God, I love you. You know, God is not here. I mean, we can't really see him in the sense, but when we say we profess we love God, we have to serve the people around us. That's when we show our love to God. So, sing an invitation song. Anybody here who wants to serve God, experience the love of God. As you sing the song, anybody say hi to, you want to be accept God as your personal God and Savior. Christ to come and you invite to come. Or if you want to rededicate your life to him, you can come in the front and we will pray for you. Struggling right now.